holding on hook test and would be is about the middle of the wide line. The line begins to be taken. We were in the middle of discussing the question of when the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do laundry or take haircut during the week of Tisha B'Av, does that also apply to the part of the week after Tisha B'Av? If Tisha B'Av comes out, let's say on Tuesday, would you also be allowed to do these things? Would you be allowed to do these things on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, or maybe not? We had Machlokas with Av and Shmuel about that. So we said we were actually in the middle of a Braisa, and then we interjected in the Braisa to talk about something that the Amoraim had to say about that. The Braisa had said that you are allowed to do these things during the part of the week after Tisha B'Av. Then we said that what if Tisha B'Av itself comes out on Friday, which nowadays it can't, but in those times when they were Makadish or Piyor Iyah, it could. So if Tisha B'Av came out on Friday, so we said you're allowed to do laundry on Thursday because of Kavod Shabbos, so you'll have clean clothes for Shabbos. The Braisa had said if you didn't do it on Thursday, then you're allowed to do it on Friday afternoon, even though that itself is Tisha B'Av, again, because of Kavod Shabbos, from Mincha and onward. However, then we interjected to say that Abaya, or of Achav Yaakov, criticized that and said that a person should not do that and curse the person who does do that. So either because either they disagree with the actual din, or Rabbeinu Hananel says they don't disagree with the actual din, but they're criticizing a person who puts themselves in that situation. Why didn't you do your laundry on Thursday, like the Braisa first said you should do, rather than not, and now you're being forced to do it on Tisha B'Av itself. So now we continue with the Braisa, and so far the first part of the Braisa was a contradiction to Shmuel, because it said clearly that you're allowed to do these things after Tisha B'Av. Such that, for example, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Tuesday, then you're allowed to do these things on Wednesday and the rest of the week, where Shmuel had said that not. But now let's finish with the Braisa, and then we'll see what Shmuel would answer to that. So before, we had said Tiyuvda, that part is that part of the contradiction on Shmuel, but now we're going to continue, now we're going to continue discussing that point. So the Braisa says, we hadn't yet said Tiyuvda, that's the thing. We had pointed out the first part of the Braisa. We didn't yet finish the Braisa and discuss how and when and discuss what Shmuel was going to do with it. So the Braisa continues, Chalvius Besheni Vachamishi, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Monday or Thursday, Kurin Shloisha Umafter Echa, then, as usual, on Monday and Thursday, you have to have a Kriya Satorda. Therefore, you have three Olim are called up. They read from Kisolid Bonim, which is the Kriya of Tisha B'Av morning, and the third one of them is the Maftir. B'Shlishi V'Ravi, on the other hand, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Tuesday or Wednesday, or any other day of the week, which is not a Yom HaKriya, so then you still need a Kriya for Tisha B'Av, but then Koda Echo to Maftir Echo. So the Tanakhama of the Braisa says, in that case, you only have one Ola, and he reads the whole thing, and he himself says the Haftarah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, Olim, Kodin Shloisha, or Master Echad. You always have three Olim, and the third one is the Master, which is the Halacha, and that's how we do it. It's an interesting point that one of the Mephoshim, in Masech Megillah, which we'll be learning next after this, it talks about at the end, in the end, the last parak, it talks about the various dinim, how many Olim you need for each particular occasion. It mentions so the Turei Evan over there has an interesting point about this machloikis. The Gemara in Bava Kamma explains that already from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu there was a concept of calling up people and reading from the Torah. But in the Gemara mentions two possibilities. Either in Moshe's times you only needed one Ola and he had to read a minimum of three psukim, or that you needed three Olim, but each of them didn't have to read three psukim, each of them could read fewer than that. So eventually Ezra made the takana that you need three Olim and each of them need to read at least three psukim. So the machlokas that we have here in this braisa can reflect those two possibilities. If we say that from Moshe's time onward, you didn't necessarily need three Olim, then when Tisha B'Av is not on a Yom HaKriya, you also only need one Olim. Whereas if you say that there was always the takana that you need three Olim, and in Moshe's times you didn't need each of them to read three psukim, and later on you do, well then in that case on Tisha B'Av, no matter what day of the week it comes out on, then you need three Olim. Anyway. So, Tiyuvda de Shmuel, so the first part of the Braisa then is the contradiction to Shmuel, because he said that even during the part of the week after Tisha B'Av, you're still also to do these things, and we see from this Braisa that you are. The answer is, Amalach Shmuel Tanoyim. Shmuel can answer you, it's actually a Machlokas Tanoyim. the Tanya, because we have another Braisa that says, Tisha B'Av Shechal is for Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av does come out on Shabbos, V'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shechal is for Shabbos, the same thing if the 8th of Av, Erev Tisha B'Av, comes out on Shabbos. So in other words, either way, Tisha B'Av is going to be on Sunday. In one case, it's going to be Nidchet for the 10th of Av, and in the other case, it's going to be on the actual defined date, the 9th of Av. Either way, when it comes to Shabbos afternoon, you can eat and drink as much as you want, unlike a regular Erev Tisha B'Av weekday, where, as we're going to talk about in the next piece of Gemara, that there's limits on what you're allowed to eat and drink. But here you're allowed to eat and drink as much as you want, and whatever kinds of food you want. You can have on your table even as much food as many different varieties of food as the kind that Shloimeh had during his good times, during his heyday. Because you have, the reason why we mentioned Kibbutz Shaitai is because you have the time when he was kicked off the throne by Ashmedai and he was wandering around. We're saying not like those times. We're talking about the good times that he had when he was king and everybody was coming to his table and the Pesukim described the enormous amount of food that they ate every day. So you're allowed to do even that. By the way, you do have, there is an argument among the Rishonim still, are you allowed to sit together and have a large group of people there at the edit and then say mezuman afterwards? The halacha, the accepted halacha, is that you are allowed to, because otherwise it would be avelus pahesia, otherwise it would be showing avelus in public, and you don't do that on Shabbos. The Rebbe used to, in fact, a lot of times he would pabreng on such a kriyos, and he would point that out, that given that that's the halacha, it means, in other words, that the simcha now has to be even greater than it would be on a regular Shabbos, because that simcha is overriding what would otherwise already be a form of avelus. With that said, though, we do say that dvarim shebitzina are noyeg, that things that take place in private are in effect on that Shabbos. One of them is Tashmish Amita, so a couple doesn't have relations on that Shabbos, unless I think there was some Heterim, maybe if it's a mikveh night, whatever, but otherwise not. And there's also the whole matter of not learning Torah, where since the minhag is, we're going to talk about soon, about what you allowed and not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, and talk about at the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. So the minhag is to do those already, to stop doing those from Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon, and therefore in such a kriyos, when Tisha B'Av is going to be on Sunday, then we don't do them Shabbos afternoon either, which is why, for example, in most calendars, you won't find a perek for Pirkei Avos for that week. And then you have the various other things, chitats, for example, you try to finish before Chatzos and so forth. Anyway, continues the Braisa, but also the Sapper Lechavis Mereshchodesh Vadatainis Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says you're not allowed to take haircuts, you're not allowed to do laundry from Mereshchodesh until after the fast. Reb Yehuda in the Kolachodesh Kolay Osir. Reb Yehuda says the entire month is Osir. Now, since Reb Meir is already saying from Mereshchodesh, so obviously Reb Yehuda, when he says the entire month, necessarily has to mean even the part after Tisha B'Av. So there you go. So you have an opinion, in other words, that Shmuel can be following in saying that it continues after the Tainus. Maybe not for the whole month, like Rabbi Yehuda is saying, but at least until the end of that week. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in also Ela Oisa Shabbos Bovad. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says only that week in which Tisha B'Av falls. And again, we can understand Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to be saying that he means until the end of the week. So in that case, that would fit exactly with what Shmuel was saying. So the previous Braisa is a contradiction against Shmuel, but Shmuel can answer that there are different opinions and he follows one of them. Nonetheless, by the way, the halacha in general, when we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel in Dine Issa V'Heter, most of the time the halacha follows Rav. And that's what it is over here, which is why it's mutter after Tisha B'Av, as we're going to say in a second. So Amar Rav Yechanan, Ushloshin Mikra Echad Doshu. All three of these opinions, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon Gamliel, are all learning their opinions from the same pasuk. They all darshan from the same pasuk. Yichtiv, a pasuk says, the Navi Hosea, that Hashem says, because of what the Jewish people are doing, Vishbati komisosa, I will cause all of her joy to cease, Chaga, her Chag, Chodsha, her Rosh Chodesh, Vishabata, and her Shabbos. So, the one who says, Reb Meir, who says that it's only from Rosh Chodesh until after the fast, he learns Mechaga. He learns from the word Chaga. Rosh Chodesh is called, in a certain sense, a Chag. The same way as we learned yesterday that it can be called a Moyed. We said Kara Obay Moyed. The same way it can be called Moyed and Chag are basically synonyms. So therefore, Rosh Chodesh can be called a Chag. So that hints at the idea that from the Chag until Tisha B'Av is also. Umanda Amakola Chodesh Koloi, the one who says, Rabbi Yehuda, that it's the entire month, he learns Mechodcha, he learns from the word Chodcha. In a simple meaning, we would say Chodcha means Rosh Chodesh, which is a day of celebration, but we're darshaning as if the pasuk means the entire month, so in other words, the entire month of Av, there are restrictions of Avelis. Umanda Amakola Shabbos Kola Aser, Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that it means the entire week, he would learn Mishabata from the word Shabbata. Where again, in simple chat, it would mean that Hashem is saying, I'm going to cause the joy of Shabbos to cease. In other words, people are not going to be able to enjoy their Shabbos as much when they're in Golos. But with Darshaning, the word Shabbos also means the entire week. So it hints at the idea that the entire week is off limits as far as certain expressions of Simcha. Okay, I mean, so you have the question, Marisha asks, what is each one going to do? So what is each one going to do with the other ones, with the other one Sukkim? Okay, he says, I mean, all of them agree. There is something about that month. There is something about that week. That is, that's sad. For example, everybody agrees that Mishnichnas Av Mamatim the Simcha, and to a certain extent that applies throughout Av. Like we said yesterday about if a Jew has a court case with a Goy, he should try to push it off out of Av altogether. So there are other things, in other words, so there, what they're arguing about is specifically about these restrictions of haircuts and laundry, to what extent, how long do those apply? But they do each agree that there is something else about the entire month, there is something else about the entire week that has an effect as well. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava halacha kirab shim gamil, but Omar Rava halacha kirab meir. Rava said the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that it's only during that week, and the halacha is like Rav Meir, meaning that it's only until Tisha B'Av. The Tarvayu Lakula, and both of them he means Lakula. In other words, he's taking the coolest of both of them, that it's only during the week of Tisha B'Av, and only up to and including Tisha B'Av, and not beyond it. With the exception, again, we said yesterday, you have the minhag is that you also keep some of these restrictions until Chatzos of the tenth of Av, because as we learned before, most of this mikdash was burnt on the tenth of Av. And the Gemara says with Tzricha. Now Rava had to say both those statements. The halacha is like Rav Meir, and the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Because the Iyashmin and halacha could have Meir. If he only told us the halacha is like Rav Meir, have Amin after the Minash Chodesh, then he would think it means that he holds that these things are also Me'ikra Din even from Rav Chodesh. Kamash Malan, halacha could have Shimon Gamliel. Therefore, he tells us no. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. They only begin and they only start the week in which Tisha B'Av takes place. The Iyashmin and Halacha could have Shimon Gamliel have Amina after the Achav. But then if we only said according to the Shimon Gamliel, we would say that it applies during the following part of the week after Tisha B'Av. Kamash Malan, Halacha could have Meir. Therefore he tells us no. He also means to say, like Reb Meir, that it only goes up until and including Tisha B'Av. So that's that. So technically that's the Halacha, that these restrictions apply only during the week in which Tisha B'Av comes out. Which means, therefore, according to most poskim, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Sunday, whether we said because it was on Shabbos and was Nidchit a Sunday, or whether to begin with it came out on Sunday, then there would be no restrictions at all of Shabbos or Chal Tisha B'Av Liyas B'Sedekah, because you go right away, the week begins with Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, we Ashkenazim have the minhag, the Ramah writes, to start these restrictions, some of these restrictions to start from Rosh Chodesh, those are the 9 days. Some of them, even such as haircuts, we begin all the way from the beginning of the 3 weeks, all the way from Shivas of the Tammuz, and that's how it is. Tosfos does mention in this connection, now we talked yesterday about that technically you would be allowed to wash linen clothes during that time, because we said linen clothes are used as underwear and by your skin, and they get dirty very fast, and you can't get them fully clean anyway. Nevertheless, Tosfos brings that Rashi said not to do that, that we have to make sure, for example, that our bed linens are cleaned before the week of Tisha B'Av. How Tosfos says an interesting point, that if Tisha B'Av comes out on Thursday, then you would be allowed, Tosfos says, to take haircuts and do laundry on Tisha B'Av afternoon because of Kavod Shabbos. You don't want to wait till Friday. You're not going to have enough time. However, the Beis Yosef doesn't like that at all. He says, I mean, how could that be? You're allowed to do laundry on Tisha B'Av afternoon. Didn't we just say before that Abaya or Rav Acha bar Yaakov criticized and cursed people who do that? So the halacha is not like that. You're not allowed to do laundry, even in such a case, on Tisha B'Av when it comes out on Thursday. Wait till the halacha is, in that case, that since the next day is Friday, then the restrictions don't last until Chatzos, as they normally would. Already in the morning, you're allowed to do these things. That way you have enough time to do them before Shabbos. or I think maybe even when it comes out on Thursday, maybe even they're mutter by, no, I think they're not mutter by night. They become mutter only the next morning, I think, yeah. So that's how it is. So we do, with that said, Rav Moshe writes in one of his Truvas, for example, that since the whole thing of not taking haircuts from Shavuot to B'Tammuz onward and not doing laundry from Rosh Chodesh Av and onward is only a minag, we're saying over here, Medina de Gemara, it's only in the week in which Tisha B'Av comes, then if you're going to have a hefsid from not doing it, let's say, for example, a person needs a haircut for the sake of their job, then they would be, in fact, allowed to until the week in which Tisha B'Av takes place. The Mishnah had said, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochel adam beis tavshilin fuller. We said on Erev Tisha B'Av, a person should not eat two cooked dishes. Now, so when we're talking about, and the Mishnah had said, you're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine, which again, we have the minhag, it's almost the universal minhag, to not eat meat and not drink wine already from a Chodesh Av, Sfaradim and Ashkenazim alike. But Medina de Gemara, it's only also by Sudam of Sekas, which is what we're going to talk about now. As far as the two tavshilin, by the way, there is a good deal of discussion among the Rishonim what exactly is considered two tavshilin. We had previously in the Mishnah, Rashi defined that even if you have, let's say, two things that are cooked together, he gave an example, or he gave a few examples. One of them is, let's say, you have fish with a glaze of egg on it. That would count as two tavshilin. On the other hand, Tosfos disagrees and says that it would mean only when they're made in two different pots. But not, for example, when you have one kind of tavshil, which is made of many ingredients. Tosfos says that doesn't count as shnei tavshilin. And then there's several other opinions and discussions among the Rishonim. What about if you have the same thing cooked in two different pots? Does that count as two different tavshilin? Does it have to be two different minim, etc.? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, lo yishanu ela mishesh shoyis lamayla. Now this that we're saying that you can't eat two tavshilin, or meat or wine, is only from 6 hours in the day onward, only from chatzos. Chatzos ayoyim, that is. Avam is sheish shoyt salamata mutter. But before 6 hours, so in the morning of Erev Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to eat these things. There, Amar Rav Yehuda, also Rav Yehuda says, lo yishanu ela b'suda ha-mafsikba. All of this only applies to the suda where you're stopping, where you're not going to be eating at your, now, so what is the definition of suda ha-mafsikis? There also, you have two different opinions among the Rishonim. That Amban holds, and so do many other Rishonim, and this is Halacha, that it means that it's the last full meal that you plan to eat. You may not be saying that yet that you're going to completely stop eating. You're not yet accepting the fast on yourself, but you're saying this is the last full meal that I'm going to eat. After this, I may eat a snack. That would be called the Sudam of Sekas. The Ravid, on the other hand, holds that the Sudam of Sekas, the definition is the one after which you're not going to eat any more Bechlal, after which you're going to accept the fast. The halacha is like the Ramban's opinion. So therefore, the Sudam of Sekas is the one where you're not planning to have another meal with bread after it. So that one was saying that you're not allowed to have the two tavshilin and so forth. Avo the Sudah, she'en emapsik ba'mutter. But if it's the Sudah that's not the Sudam of Sekas, you're still planning to have another Sudah later on in the day, mutter, then you're allowed to have the two tavshilin and so forth. And again, the Gemara says, v'tavayu l'kula. Both of these statements of Rabbi Huda are meant to be lakula. In other words, when are you osur? Only if it's a meal that you're having after 6 hours of the day, and it's your last meal before the fast. And therefore, utzricha. Therefore, again, Rabbi Huda had to tell us both statements. The iyash meaning the suda mafsikba. If Rabbi Huda had only told us that he holds that this is by the suda where you're mafsik, the suda mafsekas, have amina filu b'sheish shoyis lamata. Then you would think maybe that applies even if it was in the morning. Suppose for whatever reason you're having your main meal of the day in the morning, and let's say according to the Ramban Shita, you plan to snack throughout the rest of the day, but you don't plan to sit down and wash and have a meal. So then then you would think maybe these restrictions already apply to that. This is your suda mafsekas. Kamash malon mishesh shoyis lamayla. Therefore, Rav Yehuda tells us that no, it only applies after 6 hours in the day. The iyash minim b'sheish shoyis l'mayla, but if he only told us after 6 hours, have amin after the suda she'en emafsikba, then you would think it applies to any meal that you eat during that time, even if it's not the suda emafsekas. Kamash malam the suda emafsikba, and therefore he mentions that. So it has to be both after 6 hours and the suda emafsekas. And only then are you not allowed to eat two tavshilin and not allowed mi'ikir adin to eat meat or drink wine, etc. By the way, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, and you have a similar thing before Yom Kippur and then before the other fast, if you actually accepted the tainus after you finished the meal And also, if you didn't make a tnai, and actually not only if you accepted it, if you didn't make a tnai before you benched, that you still are going to be able to eat, then you're taka not allowed to eat. You are allowed to drink though. But, so you should. If you eat your sudar mafsekas early enough that there's still time between it and the fast, then you should make a tnai that you're still going to be able to eat some more. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Basra. Now, we have a Braisa like Rabbi Yehuda's first version, that the key point is whether it's before or after 6 hours. And we have a Braisa, like the second Lashon, which is that the key thing is whether it's Yosoda Mafsekas or not. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Basra. First, let's do the one that goes according to his second Lashon. The Braisa says, Asoyed Erev Tisha B'Av, when a person is eating his meal on Tisha B'Av afternoon, on Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon, Im osid lisoid soda acheres, if he plans to yet have another meal, so that this one is not as soda mafsekas, mutu lecho bos of lishkis yayin, then he's allowed during that next to last meal to eat meat and drink wine. Again, we're not talking the minhag that we have nowadays, where we stop eating meat and drinking wine from Rosh Chodesh Av. We're talking about the ikur adin over here. So then you would be allowed to. The imlav also lecho bos of lishkis yayin, but if not, if you're not planning to have another soda, then you're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So that follows Rabbi Yehuda's second version, that the key thing is whether this is your soda mafsekas. Tanya Kalishna Kama, and then we learn a braisa, like the first lashon. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yoichal adam shnei tavshilin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, a person is not allowed to eat two cooked foods. Lo yoichal basav lo yishta yayin. He's not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. And the braisa interjects, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omi yeshaneh. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, like he said in the Mishnah, he should change from what he normally does. Now, what does that mean to change? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Kates in Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda clarifies, what does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel mean by changing? It means that he's not necessarily saying you can't have two tefshilin or meat or wine. It all depends what you're used to. Im hayad rogu lechol shnei tefshilin, if a person usually ate two tefshilin, yoichom min echor, then instead he should eat one type of, thing. So we just mentioned before that there's machlokas arishonim. What exactly is the definition of two tefshilin? One of the definitions is that there's a difference between, in other words, that you would be allowed to eat, let's say, if you have, rice cooked in two different pots or prepared in two different ways, you just wouldn't be able to have, let's say, cooked rice as well as cooked vegetables, let's say. B'chlal, you have another machlokas, whether if it's something that you could eat raw, is it considered a tabshil? That's a whole other thing. But let's say we're talking about things that have to be cooked. Let's say we're talking about vegetables that have to be cooked. So now, Rabbi Yehuda might be saying, then, that's fine. So you're not allowed to eat two tabshilin. But if you're used to eating two tabshilin, let's say, for example, cooked rice and cooked vegetables. So instead, now you eat one min, you can have two different kinds of cooked rice. You just can't have two, because they're all the same min. You just can't have two different types of things. That could be what he means by Mishana. Anyway, there's a different gusa that says if he usually eats three tefshilin, he could eat two, which makes it more clear then that Rishim Gamliel is saying it's not necessarily a given that you can't have two tefshilin. It depends. If you usually have three tefshilin by a meal, then you're allowed to have two at this time, says Rishim Gamliel. And he continues, if a person usually eats together with 10 other people, soyed b'chamisha, then in this case, he should eat with only 5 people. Because the point is, we're talking about somebody who always eats with a group of 10, where they eat with him for his kavod, like we find in many places in Shas, where, for example, the Reish Galusa and other prominent people had many people eating together with them to bring kavod for them. So now they should reduce their kavod by having fewer people in their entourage. If a person regularly drinks at his meal 10 cups of wine, and instead he should drink 5. So again, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying it's not necessarily a given that you can't eat meat and you can't drink wine. You have to drink less than you usually do. To eat and drink less than you usually do. And the Braisa finishes off. When does all this apply? Only from 6 hours in the day and onward, so only from Chatzos, Avam Hashesh Shoyes Salamata Mutter. But before 6 hours, all these things would be Mutter. So again, that fits with Rabbi Yehuda's first version, that the key thing is it before or after 6 hours? Okay. Again, we said Rabbi Yehuda passed them like both of them the Kula, so it's only if it's both, only if it's after 6 hours and if the Sodam of Seth. Next. Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa that gives more detail about this. Erev Tisha B'Av La Yoichel Adam Shnei Tavshilin. Again, on Erev Tisha B'Av, a person is not allowed to eat two cooked dishes. La Yoichel Basav La Yishte Yayin is not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Give it a mayor. That's what the mayor says, who is the Tana of our Mishnah. The Chachamim say, like we just said, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, he has to vary, he has to change things from doing from the way he usually does, and reduce the amount of meat and wine that he drinks. So again, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, we just said, he doesn't have to completely cut out meat and wine, he doesn't have to completely cut out two tefshilin. It all depends what he's used to usually having throughout the rest of the year. Ketzed Memayit, so what does it mean to reduce? Suppose that he usually eats a litra of meat, which is a litra is a certain weight. It's like 12 ounces or 12 ounces or a pound or something like that, whatever. So if he usually eats that, litra. So he can still eat meat, say the Chachamim. He just has to eat half as much. If he regularly drinks a lug of wine, then he should drink a half a lug. The im ainu rogel kol ikar, if he doesn't regularly eat meat and drink wine throughout the rest of the year, also then he's not allowed to eat it by the soda. Reb Shimon Gamliel points out, here's another din, im haya rogel lechot tsnoin oimaliach achasur dasai, if a person regularly eats tsnoin, which is a radish, or maliach, or salted meat, or salted fish, and he usually eats that after his suda, like to clean out his mouth or whatever, then he's allowed to do that after the suda as well. And that now, that particular part is the halacha. You are allowed to. However, the poskim say it's better to be a bal nefesh on that. Don't eat your regular after dinner dessert or after course or whatever like you do. Okay, now we're saying maliach means salted meat. So Rashi explains, we're going to point out soon in the Gemara, that even within, we're saying you're not allowed to eat meat, we're going to say at the bottom of the Amud, that me'ikra din, you would be allowed to eat heavily salted meat on Erev Tisha B'Av. The concept of not eating meat wouldn't apply to something like that, as we'll talk about at the end of the Amud. Again, the minag is not to eat meat throughout the 9 days, and therefore that applies in the end to Basa Maliach as well. Actually, Tosfos says in connection with that that nowadays we regularly eat salted meat. So therefore we can't say that the heter of the Gemara applies to it in those times where they regularly ate mostly fresh meat, and only once in a while where they eat salted meat, then maybe you could say you're allowed to. But we regularly eat salted meat anyway, therefore for us it's like regular meat. Tosfos also mentioned as far as drinking, it's not only the restrictions apply not only to wine but also to other all kinds of alcoholic drinks. This that we said, yamayat, that you should drink less, also applies to those. So you should drink fewer of those by the sodam apsekas than you usually would. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Tanya idach. We learn in another brisa. Kol shehu mishum Tisha B'Av. Any meal that you're having because to prepare for Tisha B'Av, namely the Sodam of Setes, also lechol basav, also lishkes yayin. By that meal, you're not allowed to eat meat, you're not allowed to drink wine. Again, we're talking the ikra din, we're not just talking based on the minhag of the 9 days, this is the actual din, but also lilchot, and you're also not allowed to bathe. Now here you have a machlokes rishonim. What do we mean during that? Do we mean from when you started the Sodam of Setes? Do we mean from when you ended it? Or is it maybe that we don't even follow this opinion, because we're going to have in a second, Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi says says a different din, and maybe we follow him. So the ma'isa, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that until you've actually accepted the fast on yourself, or until the fast actually begins, you are allowed to wash, and now you can't take full showers, just like the minhag is you don't do in the 9 days, but the point is you are allowed to wash your hands or whatever. The restrictions of Tisha B'Av on washing don't apply yet, so even after the Sodam of Setes. Anyway, continues the Braisa, Kol She'edim Mishum Tisha B'Av, when you're eating on Erev Tisha B'Av, not because of Tisha B'Av, it's not the Sodam of Setes, Mutar Lechol Basa, you're allowed to eat meat, Lishtes Yayin, and to drink wine, but also Lechot, but you're still not allowed to bathe. Many Rishonim have a gius over here, Umutar Lechot, that you are allowed to bathe. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi, over Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi says in the name of his father, Rabbi Yosi, here is a rule, Kol Shosh, Mutar Lechol, Basar, Mutar Lechot. As long as you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to bathe. The word Basar, Rashi and many other Rishonim take out, So and as long as you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to wash. So therefore, there you go then. So even after the Sodom of Sekas, as long as you haven't accepted the fast, then you are allowed still to wash your hands or other individual body parts. Okay. Tananabanan, another b'raisa. Kol mitzvah hanogas ba'ovel nogas b'tes ba'ov. All the mitzvahs that apply to an ovel also apply on Tisha B'av. So now, it doesn't mean, in other words, that now the first one we're going to mention is eating and drinking. Obviously, an ovel is allowed to eat and drink. So Rashi explains, in other words, what we mean is that everything that applies to an ovel, also the isurim that apply to an ovel, also apply on Tisha B'av. There are additionally things that apply on Tisha B'av that don't apply to an ovel, namely eating and drinking. The Rosh points out, actually, a very important point, that the flip side is also true. We say that all the isurim that apply to an ovel apply on Tisha B'av, but not all the kumva aseis that apply to an ovel apply on Tisha B'av. For example, an ovel has to do kriya. We don't do kriya on Tisha B'av. An ovel, as we're going to talk about on Omer Beis, has to turn over his bed, as they did, which we'll talk about on Omer Beis, why we don't do that nowadays. But on Tisha B'av, we're going to say on Omer Beis, Rabbi Yehuda says you do have to, but the Chachamim disagree. So it's not that all the things that an ovel has to do have to be done on Tisha B'av. It's all the things that an ovel is restricted from are restricted on Tisha B'av. And in addition, there's also eating and drinking. So, namely, also about chilo v'shtiyah, so you're not allowed to eat and drink on Tisha B'av. Over sicha, you're not allowed to smear ointment on your skin, ointment or oil or what have you. Also on the side of it here, it says v'chitza, over sicha, you're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to bathe or wash yourself and any part of your body, or anoint with oil either. In Yuma, we learned there are certain exceptions to that. For example, a person has sores on their body, then they're allowed to apply oil or ointment to them, because they're not doing it for Tainug, they're doing it for Rufua. So on Tisha B'Av, the same thing would apply. Similarly, as we know, on Tisha B'Av, you do wash Negovaser, but you only wash until you only wash your fingertips, etc. So those things. Over an ilas a sandal, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, and we know you're allowed to wear shoes made of other materials. Over Tashmish HaMitta, you're not allowed to have tashmish amitah, but and also just like an oval, but also licorice the toto of a neviim of uksurim on Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to learn toto neviim uksurim, the lishnes the mishnah, or to learn mishnayis the talmud or gemara over medrash. A medrash meaning midrashe halacha, for example, like sifra or sifri, over halachas or collections of halacha, over agadas or agata, which also includes midrashim, like medrash rabba. However, continues the Braisa, a person is allowed to read from Torah a part that he's not used to reading, because in other words, the idea is, since he doesn't know it, then he's going to have tzar. He doesn't really understand it. So therefore, that's going to give him tzar. He's allowed to learn Mishnayos a part that he's unfamiliar with. We're going to see in a second that halacha is not like that. The code of the kinos. Now you are allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. You are allowed to learn Sefer Eicha, which is called the Chachamim call it kinos. The Eov, you're allowed to learn Sefer Eov, which is also sad topics. Over Dvarim Aroyim should be Yirmiyah, and the bad nevuos in Yirmiyah, meaning the ones where he says about disasters that are going to happen to the Jewish people, you're allowed to learn those on Tisha B'Av, which, by the way, the post can point out that when you have, sometimes you have, in the middle of a nevuah, you have a couple of psukim of Nechama, so you would not be allowed to do those on Tisha B'Av. And also you have near the end of Sefer Yirmiyah in particular, we have a collection of Nevuos where he talks about how the Goyim are going to be destroyed and where the various Goyish nations are going to be destroyed and defeated. Those you're also not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av because those bring you Simcha. But the ones that talk about the troubles for the Jewish people, those you're allowed. And continues the Braisa, the Tinokas Shabbos Rabban B'Tevin, the children who learn in Cheder are bottle on that day. They don't learn in Cheder that day. In particular, first of all, because they themselves maybe are not allowed to learn these things, but second of all, because the Rebbe wouldn't be allowed to teach it to them. On the other hand, there is a girsa over here. Hagoyis Agra has a girsa einan, and he brings that various Rishonim have a girsa einan tailin, that he says that the children are not bottle; they are allowed to be in cheder on that day. We'll get to in a second Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Anyway, Mishum Shanema, the reason you're not allowed to learn Torah, most parts of Torah on Tisha B'Av, Mishum Shanema, Pikudei Hashem Yishurim, Misan Chelev, the pasuk says the commandments of Hashem are straight. They make a person's heart happy. And on Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to be happy. Therefore, you're not supposed to be learning these things. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with parts of what Rabbi Meir says. No, you're not allowed to learn even an unfamiliar part of Tanakh, because the fact is you're going to have simcha from it. Similarly, you're not allowed to learn an unfamiliar part of Mishnayos, same reasons. Aval, but he agrees that Koda who be Eiv of Kinnis of Dvarim Arayim should be Yomiyo, that you are allowed to learn Sefer Eiv and Eicha and the unfavorable parts of Yomiyahu. And he continues, and the children in Cheder are bottled. They don't have Cheder on that day. Again, maybe because the children themselves, different posts can discuss, is it the children themselves are also to learn, and from a certain age, that's correct. But also, even if they're a younger age than that, the Malamed is not allowed to teach them. And again, Mishum Shinema, Pikuda, Hashem Mishram, Sam Chelev, so therefore, sort of Yehuda says that you're only allowed to learn these things that are appropriate for Tisha B'Av. So now the poskim point out several other things. You're allowed to learn the Medrash on Eicha, for example. You're allowed to learn the Gemara in Perek HaNizokin and a shorter piece of Gemara in Sanhedrin that talk about the events surrounding the Churban. You're allowed to learn the Rabbeim pointed out. You're allowed to learn Chassidus that has to do with Tisha B'Av. You're allowed to learn the Dinim of Tisha B'Av and of Avelus and such things. So you have a variety of material, but it is more restricted than the rest of the year. Within that, it says also you shouldn't be learning it in the Chavrusa, let's say, or in a Shir, because if you start delving into it deeply, and that gives you Simcha when you understand it better, when questions have been asked and so forth, and that clarifies it, and that there you have Simcha from that. Even within these things themselves, you're not really supposed to delve too deeply into them for the same reason. So you're allowed to, but you have rules about it. There are various Gdolei Yisrael that it tells about them that they were actually learning, that they were actually caught learning on Tisha B'Av. You have, for example, it's told about the Rogachover, I think, that he was caught learning on Tisha B'Av, and when the person asked, how you talking to Tisha B'Av, then the Rogachover was upset that the guy pointed it out, that he should have left well enough alone. But in general, this is how it is. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Lo Yoicha Basav Lo Yishte Yayin. We said on Erev Tisha B'Av by the Sudan of Sekes, you're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Again, we said, you're not eating and drinking it throughout the 9 days, but we're talking about the Ikar Adin, where you would be allowed to, and it's only by the Sudan. Tana, now we learn in a Braisa, Aval Oichahu Basam Aliyah. However, you would be allowed to eat salted meat, as we're going to define in a second how salted we're talking about. V'shoseh Yayin Negitoy, and you're allowed to drink fresh wine. So Rashi explains, salted meat doesn't really have the taste of meat anymore, as we're going to say in a second in the Gemara. As far as fresh wine, the point is that Rashi says it's still oversweet because the sugars in it haven't fermented into alcohol yet, and it loosens a person's bowels, it's harmful to him. Now, Rashi is not necessarily describing modern day grape juice. He's describing the way they had in those times where as soon as you press the grapes, you had them start fermenting, and therefore during the first couple of days when they're fermenting, then it's not very good for you. Reb Shlomo Zalman points out, actually, that maybe the concept that Rashi is saying about it being mazik maybe wouldn't apply to modern-day grape juice, but nevertheless, maybe in principle, the same halacha would apply. I mean, in practice, we're not drinking grape juice during the 9 days either, but in principle, maybe, according to this, you would be allowed to. Anyway, so, basa maliach ad kama, how long does it have to have been sitting in the salt for it to be considered salted meat? Amr of Chinen Bakahana, Meshmeh Shmuel, Kozman She'ene Keshlomim, or Shehu Keshlomim is really supposed to be, as long as it is like Shlomim. Meaning, a Shlomim you have, we know that a Shlomim can be eaten for Shnei Yomim V'Laila Echad. So for example, you bring a Korban Shlomim on Tuesday, then you have all of Tuesday and Tuesday night and Wednesday until Shtia to eat it. And then what happens is, Wednesday, Shtia, it becomes Noiser, and Thursday morning you have to burn it, because Kodshim have to be burnt by day. So that's already the third day since it was shechted. And the Pasuk still calls it Basar at that point. So we see that up until 2 or 3 days after it was shechted, it's still considered Basar, but after that, not. So therefore, in this case, if it sat in the salt for 2 or 3 days, then already it's not considered Basar. It's not, obviously, if you hadn't put it in salt that amount of time, it would spoil. I mean, this is back before they had refrigeration. But you put it in the salt, but nevertheless, we see that the Pasukim don't call it Basar any time after that. So therefore, that gives us a basis for saying that once it's 2 or 3 days old, once it's sat in the salt for 2 or 3 days, then it's not considered basar anymore, and therefore you'd be allowed to eat it. Because, as Rashi says, it doesn't really have the taste of meat anymore. The Gvura Sari talks about some details of why 2 or 3 days, because a shlomim wasn't always shechted first thing in the morning. On the other hand, you're burning it first thing in the morning, so not always do you have 2 full days from when it was shechted, but still, that's why Rashi is saying 2 or 3, because sometimes it can be one, sometimes the other. Again, we said before that Tosfos points out that we regularly eat salted meat. So for us, it's not really much of a difference between that and regular meat. Therefore, we're not allowed to eat that on Erev Tisha B'Av. And for that matter, during the 9 days, when we have nowadays the minhag of not eating meat during the 9 days, then it applies to that kind of salted meat or beef jerky or whatever. Okay, the Yayin Migitay Ad Kama. What's the definition of Yayin Migitay? Up until what point is it called that? So the answer is Kozman Shu Tosis. As long as it's fermenting. Now, when wine ferments, you have a toisis, literally means that it's bubbling. Because what happens is, when wine is fermenting, the sugar is turning into alcohol, you have it produces bubbles of carbon dioxide. So for the first couple of days of doing that, it's bubbling. And then after that, it stops. After that, the bubbles stop forming. So as long as it's bubbling, it's considered yayin migitay. And as Rashi says, it's really not so good for you. So nowadays we have sparkling wines, because what they do actually is they close the container very tightly, so all of that carbon dioxide stays in, and therefore you have the wine is bubbling even afterwards. But in those times they didn't have that. So now, how long is that? How many days is that? So Tana, we can answer that by a braisa that says yayin tosis ein b'mishum gilui, wine that is fermenting and bubbling, there's no problem of leaving it uncovered, because we're always concerned about that throughout Shasta, a snake might come and drink from it, but when it's bubbling, the snake would be afraid to come near it, so therefore there's no problem. The kamat tisase gimel yamim, how long does the bubbling last? 3 days. So therefore, the definition of Yayin Migitay is that it's within 3 days since the grapes were pressed. Okay. Now, so far we've been talking about the dinim of Sodom Afsefa. So far, what are we up to? We're saying that you're not allowed to eat 2 tefshilin, and according to the Pshimen Gamliel, even you are if you usually eat more than that. You're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine, but in other words, you're allowed to eat 1 tefshil, you're allowed to eat a fairly normal meal, it just has to be with less than meat. You can't have meat and wine, but so you have some restrictions, but basically it's a normal meal. However, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the following was the minhag of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. This is the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Erev Tisha B'Av mivin like pas chareva b'melach, and Erev Tisha B'Av for the Sodom of Sekas, they would bring him dry bread dipped in salt. The Yosef ben Tana l'kirayim, he would sit between the oven and the stove, which is the dirtiest place in the house. And so you think of it, it's all full of soot and whatever. But oichol, and he would eat the bread. B'shoytel l'kitin shomayim. He would drink together with it a pitcher of water. The Doma Kamisha Mason Mutalapanov, and he would be acting and feeling like a person whose dead relative is right there in front of him, where he's inconsolable. So the same way he felt during the Sodom of Sekas, like he's inconsolable for the Churban, even though of course it was many years since the Churban in his times already. So therefore that's where we have the minhag of our Sodom of Sekas, again when Erev Tisha B'Av is not on Shabbos, that we do that where we have the bread and where we have the bread and the water and nothing else. There's the minhag from the Rishonim that you dip the bread in ashes based on a pasuk in Eicha. So that's where we get the Sodom of Sekas that we do nowadays, based on Rabbi Yehuda's minhag. This that we said before, that various things of Avelos apply on Tisha B'Av, another example is, or besides all the things we listed, is, so the Maram Rutenberg held that just since we're saying over here in the Gemara that on Tisha B'Av, a person has to feel like Mason Mutalafana, like his dead relative is lying there right in front of him, and therefore he's inconsolable. So the Maram Rutenberg said the same thing. On Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't be wearing tefillin, because an Avol, the first day, doesn't wear tefillin. So the halacha is that we don't wear it by Shacharis, but instead we wear it by Mincha. Because already Mincha, already the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, we're meikel on some aspects of the Avelos. We sit on regular chairs, for example. So therefore, at that point, we also put on tefillin. And, as far as davening, by the way, so we said before, you don't learn certain parts of Torah. There is discussion among the Rishonim, what about the various parts of davening that come from various psukim in Tanakh and Mishnayos and Braises and whatever. So the consensus is that most of them we do say regular korbanos on Tisha B'Av morning. We do say Ezer Mekoyman and the Braises of Rabbi Shmuel like normal. At the end of davening, there are certain things where we don't do them by Shacharis, for example, Shir Shal Yoyim and Ein Kelokeinu and Pidgim HaTorah, and again, those we do by Mincha. Now let's talk about doing work on Tisha B'Av. Tanan Hossam. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Pesachim, Mokim Shenagu Lasas Malacha B'Tes B'Av Oisin. In places where they have the minhag to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, they're allowed to do it. Mokim Shenagu Shavoy Lasas Ein Oisin. In places where the minhag is not to do work, then you're not allowed to. By the way, now the Rishonim say, when we talk about malacha over here, we don't mean the kind of malacha, like for example, we don't mean the definition of malacha, like for example, as far as Shabbos. Let's say turning on a light switch or lighting a match or whatever. We're not talking about such things. We're talking about malacha that involves a certain amount of time, a certain amount of effort. So in places where they have the minhag not to do it on Tisha B'Av, so that they're not distracted from the avelus, then they're not allowed to. In all places, Tamid HaChamim are idle from work on Tisha B'Av. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Emel Olam, Yasa, Kol Adam Atzma, Ketamid HaChamim. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that a person should always make himself like a Tamid HaChamim and not work on Tisha B'Av. Now, you have the problem, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, don't you have the problem of Yuhara in that, where it looks like he's showing off, look what a great guy I am. There's a couple of reasons the Gemara and Pesachim explain why that's not a problem over here. One of them is because not everybody knows. Like this, as it is, you always have some people who are idle. You have some people who are unemployed anyway. So therefore, it's not so obvious that he's doing it because of Tisha B'Av. It might just be that he doesn't have any work to do right now. And there's a couple of other reasons, but in any case, so Tamid HaChamim, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says everybody should act like a Tamid HaChamim in that. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn similarly in a Braisa, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer La'olam Yasa Adam Atzma Ketamid HaChacham Kedei She'Yis'ane, in order that he's afflicted, in other words, that he feels the affliction of Tisha B'Av. Like this, first of all, if he works on Tisha B'Av, he's likely to get so involved in his work that he doesn't feel the fasting and the affliction of Tisha B'Av, and that's not appropriate. And also, some of the Rishonim say, the point is, if he does work, it may weaken him so much. It may be physical labor that weakens him so much that he's not able to finish the fast. Therefore, that's another reason not to work on Tisha B'Av. An obvious nafkamina would be if, let's say, for example, it's work that doesn't wear you out. Let's say, you know, computer work or something. Would you be allowed to or not? According to the first reason, still not, because it's going to distract you from the fast. According to the second reason, there wouldn't be a problem with it because you're obviously, it's not going to prevent you from completing the fast. More on the topic of Tisha B'Av, Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Kola Oichel B'Shoyse B'Tes B'Av, Ki Ilu Oichel B'Shoyse B'Yem Kippurim. A person eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av is as if he eats and drinks on Yom Kippur. Now some of them, Rashi actually has a Girsa that not the Tisha B'Av, but rather it means, in other words, Rashi explains, it doesn't mean on Tisha B'Av itself. Rashi's gear says it means we eat meat and drinks wine. So in other words, we're going back to what we talked about, the Sodam of Sefes. So obviously on Tisha B'Av itself, you're not allowed to eat at all. But we're saying even on Erev Tisha B'Av by the Sodam of Sefes, a person who eats meat and drinks wine by that soda is a bad thing. And, we're going to have that soon, and something else. That's something else. But anyway, so he was saying that if he eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av, which can mean, in other words, if he eats and drinks what he shouldn't be eating and drinking on Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av by the Sodom of Sekas, then it's as if he ate on Yom Kippur itself. Which actually, the Sefer Eshkol from one of the Rishonim says that means, in other words, he's going to be Chayav Kares, Midrabanan, the same way a person is Chayav Kares for eating on Yom Kippur. Daraisa, the same way he would be Chayav Kares, Midrabanan. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kola Oysa Malacha of Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Akiva says, anybody who does Malacha on Tisha B'Av, Ki'ilu, Einer Roya Simen Bracha La'olam. He will never see a Simen Bracha from that. So Tosfos says what that means is he has a regular job that he does the rest of the year. He also does a Tisha B'Av. He's never going to see a Simen Bracha from that job anytime during the year, says Tosfos. On the other hand, other Rishonim learn there's a safer of halacha called Tanya Rabasi. Originally it used to be called just Tanya, but after the Altareva published his Tanya, then they renamed that one Tanya Rabasi. It's an important safer of halacha from the Rishonim. He says that it means, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that it means, in other words, a person is never going to see a Simen Bracha from the money that he earned working on Tisha B'Av. So we're not talking about, like Tosfos says, that it's going to affect that job of his forever. It just means that, for example, he worked on Tisha B'Av and earned $100. He's never going to see a Bracha from that $100. He's going to end up spending it on something, on doctors or whatever, that he wouldn't have otherwise had to. Anybody who does work on Tisha B'Av and is not mourning for Yerushalayim on that day, he's not going to see the Simcha of Yerushalayim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Simchus Yerushalayim v'gilu b'kalay avera, rejoice with Yerushalayim and be happy with it, all those who love it. Sisu ita masais, rejoice in rejoicing with it. Kolam is ablim aleha, all who are mourning for Yerushalayim. So mikan omru, based on this, the Chachamim said, Kolam is abel al Yerushalayim, anybody who mourns for Yerushalayim, zeicha v'roya v'simchasa, he will have the schus to see the joy of Yerushalayim. V'she'enim is abel al Yerushalayim, if he doesn't mourn for Yerushalayim, ena roya v'simchasa, he will not see the simcha of Yerushalayim. Now, the question is, they ask, so what are we talking about exactly? If we're talking about during their lifetime, there's been generations and generations of Jews who were misabal al Yerushalayim and didn't see the simcha of Yerushalayim. And if we're talking about after, if we're talking about when Mashiach comes, Kol Yisrael Eshan Chelik Lanam Abba, so everybody's going to come alive by Tchias HaMesim, almost everybody, okay, yeah, maybe the exceptions in Mishnayis, in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, maybe, fine, but it doesn't mention any misabal al Yerushalayim among those. So what do we mean? So there is actually an explanation. There is actually an explanation that's brought in various Chassidish Sfarim that it means that such a person, even now, he feels in his neshama a certain semblance of the joy of Yerushalayim that will be la'asid lava. He doesn't get maybe in his lifetime to see it, and only when he comes alive by Tchias HaMesim will he see the real thing. But even now, he gets to have a semblance of it in his neshama because he's mourning for Yerushalayim. So therefore, so the Chacham say it's very important. Tosfos mentions in this connection that a person should sleep less comfortably than he does during the rest of the year. The Gemara is going to actually talk about that point soon. Also, Tosfos discusses the question that do you have to do Tosfos? Do you have to add to the day like you do on Yom Kippur? So Tosfos says that maybe you should, maybe you do need to have, maybe you do need to stop in Be'od Yom, because just like by Yom Kippur, it's Minat Torah. But Tosfos says maybe not. Actually, you are allowed to eat and drink. You are allowed to eat and drink after the Sodom of Sekas. Tosfos says just maybe you have to have Tosfos. You have to stop sometime before Shkia. Other poskim disagree with that, and the halacha is you really don't have to. Only by Yom Kippur, which is Daraisa, do you have to. But Tisha B'Av being Dirabanan, you don't have to. You can eat and drink all the way until Shkia, as long as you don't go over, of course. And the Gemara finishes off, Tanya Nami Hachi. We learn similarly in a Braisa that about how important Tisha B'Av is. A person eats meat and drinks wine on Tisha B'Av, and here's where Rashi says doesn't mean on Tisha B'Av itself. Of course, on Tisha B'Av itself, you're not allowed to eat anything. We mean where he eats it by the Sodom of Sekas on Erev Tisha B'Av. All of our Kosev Omer, on such a person, the Pasuk says, their Avera is on their bones. In other words, it's if it's like inscribed on their bones that they did this Avera. So it's a very serious thing, and that goes with what the Sefer Eshkol said, that we just said before, that it means that he's Chayiv Karis Midrabanan. Karis Medivri Kabbalah, it's called. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev B'Kfiyas HaMita, Rabbi Yehuda requires you to turn over your bed on Tisha B'Av, V'loi Hodu Lo Chachamim, and the Chachamim disagreed with him. Now, turning over your bed is one of the things that Avelim are supposed to do, as we're going to learn in Masech HaMoed Katan. The way it worked in those days, so nowadays, Tosfos points out, even Avelim don't turn over their bed nowadays for two reasons. Number one, because the Goyim are going to see us do that, and they're going to think we're trying to do witchcraft against them or something. And number two, anyway, other Rishonim point out that anyway, our beds are not constructed the way they were in the times of the Chachamim, in the times of the Gemara, and therefore if we turn over the bed, it's not really going to be so noticeable anyway. The turning over the bed meant in those days you had a bed frame made out of wood. You had ropes woven in and out of holes in the bed frame to make a network of ropes. And then on top of that, they put the mattress. So turning over the bed meant that you're going to sleep on the rope side. So nowadays our beds aren't made that way. Rashi over here says a different expression that to turn over the bed would mean to sleep on the floor. Because, in other words, on Tisha B'Av, we're not saying, even Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that you have to sleep on the underside of the bed. He's saying that you're not supposed to be sleeping on a bed at all. You're supposed to be sleeping on the floor. In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that concept, that there are people who have a minhag to sleep on the floor or to use a stone for a pillow. But, as the Gemara is going to say now, pregnant women and nursing women don't have to do that because it would be bad for them. Weak people don't have to do it. So many people don't have that minhag nowadays. As far as I know, it's not minhag Chabad to do any such thing. Anyway. So, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Omer Lo Rabbi Yehuda. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, how can you say you have to turn over the bed? According to your logic, what's going to be with pregnant women and nursing women, where for them to sleep on the floor would be bad for their health? Amalahem. So he tells them, fine. Okay, I'm only talking about somebody who's able to turn over their bed and sleep on the floor, but not pregnant and nursing women. We learn similarly in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim when a person is unable to sleep on the floor that they don't have to turn over their bed. Conversely, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda where a person is able to. So the question is, in that case, Ma'i Benayah? Well, in that case, what's the actual machlokes? They both agree that pregnant nursing women and other people who are not able to don't have to. It sounds like they both agree that people who are able to sleep on the floor should sleep on the floor. So where's the machlokes? The answer is, Ikke Benayah Shai Mitzis. The argument is, as far as the other beds in the house, that you're not actually lying on. Kedetanya, we learn in a Braisa, Sh'omru Lichboi Samita, when it comes to an ovo where the din is that he has to turn over his bed, Loi Mitosi Bovad Hu Kaifa, it's not only that he turns over his own bed, Ela Kolam Mitis Kolan Hu Kaifa, he has to turn over all the other beds in the house, whether anybody is sleeping on them or not. So therefore, we said, now, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tisha B'Av, the same thing, you have to turn over all the beds. The Chachamim disagree, and they say you only have to turn over your own bed if you're able to sleep on the floor, and you don't have to turn over any of the other beds in the house. The halacha is like the Tana of our Mishnah, when we're saying that the Chachamim did not agree with him at all, meaning you don't even have to turn over your own bed, let alone any of the other ones. And that's the halacha. On Tisha B'Av, you're not required to turn over any beds. You're not required to sleep on the floor. Tosfos says it is, a person should do that. A person, for example, usually sleeps with two pillows. You should sleep with only one. Lamai says some people are noyig with those kinds of chumras. Many people are not. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.